Last time we were on the pastor's study together, we had concluded our study on the tribulation period and had just begun looking at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. And of course, if you've been following the studies we've been doing, we're doing a study or series of studies entitled Things to Come. We've been looking at the next prophetic events on God's calendar. So what we're going to do today is we're going to continue and study the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer together. Dear Heavenly Father, it's a privilege to be once again being able to broadcast, amen, these studies on thy word, Lord. We thank you that we do have your very words, that you preserved every one of your words in this King James Bible. And Father, we just pray that you'd use me, use your word, for your honor and your glory. Father, we thank you for the Bible teacher, the indwelling Holy Spirit. Father, help us to be submissive to the Holy Spirit. Let him lead. Let him guide. Let him speak through me this day, Lord. Father, I pray for the saint of God that's listening. I pray that your words would encourage them, build them up in the things of the faith, Lord, and just lift them up. Help them to be enthusiastic about the things of God, about your word, Lord. And Father, lest we forget, let us never forget the lost soul or souls that may be listening. They've never trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That this would be the very day they say, gee, you know, I don't want to go through the tribulation period that's just about to take place. I want to know when I die, 100% sure that I'm going to heaven, that my sins are forgiven. I pray this would be the very day that they'd call upon the name of the Lord, trusting in his shed blood and nothing else to pay for all their sins, past, present, and future, and secure them a home in heaven. Father, we just praise you and thank you for whatever you'll choose to do this very day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we're going to continue and look at the second coming. We saw point number one, the drum roll. We looked at the cosmic events in the heavens that are going to take place at the second coming, at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the second main point is entitled The Dazzling Appearance. The Dazzling Appearance. So let's turn to Revelation 19 together, and you'll see why it's a dazzling appearance. Some may read this that are unsaved and say, boy, this sounds like science fiction, but it's not. These are the very words of Almighty God. And this is what it's going to exactly be like when Jesus Christ returns the second time, immediately following the tribulation. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and 13. Let's read them together. And I saw heaven opened. And of course, the Apostle John here is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit while he's on the Isle of Patmos, where he's been exiled. So God allows him to see some future prophetic events. And he says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. So John is saying, I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse. This is what he saw when the heaven opened. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes, he's describing the rider who sat on that white horse. He told you he was called faithful and true, and he's going to judge in righteousness, and he's going to make war. And here's his physical appearance. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's sent unto the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see now the curtain does not fall back like you would see on an earthly stage, but the actual heavens open, and the King of Kings bursts onto the scene with his eyes consuming all the activity of the earth's inhabitants, and upon his head the royal diadem. You see, my friends, this time, Jesus is not clothed with humility in riding upon a colt. This time, he is clothed to war against unrighteousness. This time, he is riding the victorious white horse. Let's continue. Revelation 19, verse 14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. What we see here is behind this faithful and true rider are all the saints. Amen. If you're saved and you're listening today, that's you. You're going to be part of the armies. So it's all the saints clothed in fine linen, white and clean, also riding upon this special horse from heaven to earth. What a sight. What a sight to see, my dear friend. If you are saved, you will be one of those saints with him, and you will have the bird's eye view from your white horse. Let's turn to the book of Jude. And we want to look in the book of Jude to verses 14 and 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. What's the reason for his coming? Listen, verse 15 of Jude. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So we see here, even all of the unsaved will view this spectacular appearance. Amen. I know they're going to be shaking in their boots, as the expression says. Oh, they didn't want to believe the Word of God. They thought it was all fairy tales or fables or stories that Christians made up. But it isn't any fiction. It isn't any fable. Just as the Lord said it is going to happen, it is going to happen, my dear friend. No doubt about it, because it's written right here in the very Word of God. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, as we continue to read about the second coming, about his dazzling appearance. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, we read this. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. See that? Every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him. Talking about the crucifixion. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24. If you're not excited about now, I don't know what'll make you excited, my dear friend. I'm just having a time holding on to my seat, amen, as we read these scriptures together, amen. Matthew 24, verse number 30. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in the heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. They're going to wail, and they're going to mourn because they know the party's over. Amen. Looking in Luke chapter 21. Yeah, the Christian may be taking it today, but someday we're going to give it back. Amen. Luke 21, verse 27. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and a great glory. You see, there's no doubt that all the news agencies will have their cameras focused on the coming king, and everyone on this earth will view the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Can't wait. Let's look at our third main point in our study on the second coming. And that third main point is entitled Down to Earth. Up to this point, Jesus has appeared but still has not set foot on the earth. But we know, because the Bible tells us so, we know that Jesus will set foot on the Mount of Olives. Let's turn to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, with me. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 and 4. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. Here it is, verse 4. And his feet, Christ's physical feet, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, in the Mount of Olives, shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So we see then, in that day, the Mount of Olives shall split right down the middle. This earthquake seems to be the finale of Christ's second coming to the earth. We have had the drum roll, the dazzling appearance, and now Jesus touching down to earth on the Mount of Olives. Now it's time to get down to business. And as we move on to the next section, that is what Jesus does. So our fourth main point we want to see as we study the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is entitled Delivering the Jews. Delivering the Jews. During the tribulation, the Jews will be persecuted more than any other time in history. Because of this persecution, many will flee for refuge in Edom. After touching down on the Mount of Olives, Jesus will proceed to Edom to gather these Jews from their hiding place. Many believe that the hiding place will be Sela Petra. While this is not specified in the Bible, Petra does fit some basic requirements that would be needed. Petra is located among cliffs that would be easily defended by a small group. Petra is also a preserved city. No one lives there. But the caves seem to be just waiting for the arrival of tenants. Here at Petra is where the Jews as a whole recognize and accept Jesus. Now let us notice some of the Bible verses that have led us to this, to these conclusions. First, we want to turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12 with me in verse number 6. Revelation 12, 6. And the woman, again, that's Israel, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. It's 1,260 days. Let's look at Zechariah. Zechariah with me, book of Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 12. In Zechariah 12, look with me at verses 10 through 14. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart. The family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shimei apart, and their wives. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 13 with me, verse number 6. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? and that he shall answer those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Also, let's look at Amos, chapter 9, the book of Amos. Amos chapter 9, verses 14 and 15. Verses 14 through 15. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. And then Matthew chapter 24 with me, in verse 31. We read, wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. So now we have the king, the saints with him, along with a large group of Jews marching towards the Valley of Megiddo for a battle. Let's go there. Amen. As we look at the main point number 5 of our study on the second coming of Christ, and we entitle that Defeat at Armageddon. Defeat at Armageddon. Let's look at some verses of scripture. Turning to the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 19. Revelation 19, 19. And I saw the beast, that's the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and his army. They're going out. We see the Antichrist and the kings of the earth going out with their armies to gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse, that's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, against his army, those that he brings with him from heaven, the saints of God. Looking in Revelation 16, 16. And he gathered them together in a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Then in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14 with me. Zechariah chapter 14, and we'll look at verses 1 to 3 together. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. So we have the largest army ever assembled, gathered together in a place called Armageddon. And Satan is the head of this mighty army. And they are set to go against the rider of the horse, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look now, as we look at the defeat of Armageddon, first of all, we want to see the action. This could be very well be the only war in history where there are no casualties on the winning side. The losing side will suffer complete defeat. This defeat will not come because of tanks, guns, or even the atomic bomb. No, this defeat comes by the sword that goeth out of the mouth of Jesus. This is truly the power of His Word. When God said, "Let there be light," there was light. It is by this same power that Jesus will win the battle of Armageddon. There is a verse in the Gospel of John that may give a small glimpse of how this will happen. Let's turn to the Gospel of John for just a moment. Chapter 18, verse 6. And what we have here, the scene in John chapter 18, is when Judas comes, Judas who betrayed Jesus came with those to come and take Jesus. Let's look at verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" Jesus is saying this to those men that have come with Judas to take him. And this is how they answered him in verse 5. They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am he." And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, "I am he." Notice what happens. Okay, Jesus asks, "Who do you seek?" And they tell him, "Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answers, "I am he." Now notice, as soon then as he had said unto them, "I am he." Notice what happens. They went backward and fell to the ground. See that? Jesus didn't lay a hand on them. Amen. Didn't draw any weapon on them. All he said was, "I am he." Just the spoken word of God, from God himself, God manifest in the flesh, caused that group of men to fall to the ground. Just a little bit of glimpse of what's going to happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. All he's going to have to do is speak, amen, to destroy his enemies. My goodness. I believe that when Jesus speaks and the armies realize who they are up against, they will turn on themselves. The armies of the beast will be confused and trembling. Looking in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem." You see, the very light of Christ will produce blindness in animals and madness in men. Look at in Zechariah again, chapter 12, verse 4. "And in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open up mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness." And then also, 2 Thessalonians with me. Chapter 2, verse 8. "And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." You see, the followers of the beast will riot and actually defeat themselves. We have some more things we want to look at as we look at the defeat of Armageddon. And we'll look at those things next time, because we've run out of time here on the pastor's study. But again, I want to remind you that this entire study is going to be available on audio cassette if you'd like it, or just some of the study, whatever it is. They'll be giving you an address to drop me a line and request it at the end of the broadcast. Again, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the pastor study today. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.